You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of July. Kawhi Leonard chooses the Clippers, and then Paul George comes with him. What does it mean for the Utah Jazz and the Western Conference? Plus, on a bigger picture, what does it mean for the NBA and small markets? Tributes to everyone and a few Summer League thoughts. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, and hopefully making it much better to be a Jazz fan during the off season and during the season as well. You can get this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya, whatever your basic preferred podcast provider is. All right, hope you're doing great. Thanks very much for tuning in. As I said, I'm not entirely sure what I'm putting out for content this week, but really glad to have you aboard today. We'll talk about the Kawhi Leonard deal, what it means for the West and the Clippers and the Jazz. And then we'll touch on some bigger picture stuff like that. I am trying to run points gained right now with kind of a guesstimate of possessions used and rotations and some of those things in the Western Conference to see how we come out compared to everybody else and what the word on that is. So grab that. You know, we'll hopefully have that as the week goes on. One other note for you, Locked On NBA today is an extravaganza with the local experts on the biggest stories. We check in on the Clippers, the Lakers, Oklahoma City, and the Raptors. So we check in all four parts of that on the show. All right, so the Kawhi chooses the Clippers. I mean, our preference was he would have stayed in Toronto, and then the Western Conference is really wide open. Our second preference is that he goes to the Clippers without Paul George, and now he goes to the Clippers with Paul George. It's better than him going to the Lakers. If the Lakers had really had three of the top 10 players in the NBA, they probably just become unbeatable. The other thing, though, I would say is, you know, part of me looks at this and suddenly says to myself, the Clippers are great. The Lakers are great. Denver's great. Houston's great. Holy smokes. We just made all these unbelievable moves in the Western Conference. We could be the fifth best team in the West again. And we're great. Like, it's not an outlandish concept to me that the season ends, the Clippers are the one seed, the Rockets are the two, the Lakers are the three, the Nuggets are the four, and the Jazz are the five. Like, I don't even think that that's, like, a crazy thought. And the Blazers are six, and I don't know, the Warriors or Pelicans are 7 and 8. Like, it's, I'll tell you what, that to me, and that doesn't take a lot to go wrong. Now, there's also a chance that we could be the two seed, and maybe there's a chance we could be the one seed. But the one thing that did happen is that there's another team near the top. And I think the Lakers still are near the top. And the Lakers, my concern on the Lakers is I think they're going to have the Rockets season of last year. As long as they have Rajon Rondo on the team, he's their Carmelo. He'll hold them back. When they get halfway through the year and they realize that and they cut him the way that Carmelo's career ended with the Rockets, then the Lakers get hot for the second half of the season, and then they're a beast. But if they re-sign Rondo, that's great for us. The Clippers are going to be outstanding. They have it all. They have two bona fide wing scorers that you just have to win in the playoffs. They have an incredible defensive front court of Beverly, George, and Kawhi Leonard. They've got amazing depth across their roster. Landry Shamet, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams. Defensively, if you're James Harden and you're sitting there and you're looking across the floor and you're trying to figure out who you're finding the mismatch on, I don't think you can go find one. You know, you're trying to bring up Pat Beverly to guard you. You're trying to have Lou Williams. Like, if Lou Williams on the floor, you're going after Lou Williams every single time. But frankly, they don't need Lou Williams the way they once did. They needed Lou Williams because they didn't have anybody else who could manufacture offense. They've now got two guys that can absolutely manufacture offense. So they have it all. They have the best defensive perimeter. They have amazing depth. The only thing I would say to temper it slightly, and only slightly on how good the Clippers are, is they were the 8th seed last year. Danilo Gallinari had an unbelievably good year for them last year, and offensively was actually probably better than Paul George was last year. Defensively, he wasn't, but offensively, he probably was better than Paul George, or as good as Paul George. So they are the 8th seed that added Kawhi Leonard, which vaults them to the top. I'm not willing to say that they're the 8th seed that added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, because then you've got to start talking about the fact that they lost Danilo Gallinari also. Like, that's a loss to them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, frankly, as a rookie, rookies are not beneficial to your team very often. He's going to be very good, but that's not a loss to who they were. The Gallinari is a loss to who they were as a team. And so I'm not certain that I think the Clippers are about to go win 62 games and everybody else is at 52. I do think the Clippers are the best team and that their offense is going to be amazing. And the initial run of points gained shows that. I also think the Rockets are, you know, still have the capability of being really, really good. I think we got to remember. Now, I don't know if they're going to defend, but offensively, that Rocket team is still loaded. And frankly, that Laker team is unreal if they get rid of Rajon Rondo. So as much as we have gotten better, and we'll talk about it more as the week goes on, those teams are still, I mean, that's kind of my point. Like, holy smokes. And that's where part of me kind of thinks, all right, let's let them, you know, if Kawhi gone to the Lakers, I actually had somewhere in the back of my mind, I felt as though if Kawhi went to the Lakers, that Lakers could have still screwed it up somehow. I don't know why I thought that, because that's a hell of a team. But there's just been that feeling around the Lakers that somehow they could still manage a way to screw this up. Rudy Gobert and what his role in the Western Conference is, maybe more so than ever before. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Lots of fun things going on at Murdoch Chevy. Big 4th of July. I hope you took part of all the fun things that were taking place up over the 4th of July weekend at the Murdochs. Had a lot of fun with. But here's some of the things that are taking place here for Murdoch Chevy. 0% APR for 72 months on a 2019 Silverado Crew Cab All-Star Edition. Plus, you can lease a brand new 2019 Equinox LT for just $299 per month. I'll tell you what, I love that car. I drove that Equinox for a long time and was super impressed with how quiet a ride it was, with its pickup, with its space inside, with its really handy and well-done touchscreens and all of its functionality. It was a really easy car to use and enjoy. And by the way, for the entire month of July, the Murdoch Group, who have 90-plus years in Utah, are giving a $500 Visa gift card when you finance your Murdoch vehicle through Golden West Credit Union. The Murdochs and Chevy, it is like apple pie in America. Murdoch Chevy in Utah for 90-plus years. Check them out. Over in Woods Cross, also up in Logan, it's Murdoch Chevy, 0% APR for 72 months on the 2019 Silverado Crew Cab All-Star Edition, and that brand-new Equinox is just $299 a month. Here's what I think's a little interesting about the Western Conference. I actually feel as though the way things have gone, that Rudy Gobert has actually become more valuable. So as long as the Clippers are going to play Montrezl Harrell or Zubac as their center, they've got somebody who's going to be around the rim, who's a big guy that keeps Rudy there. And suddenly, really the only way you can cause the Clippers problems is if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George aren't getting to the rim and they're suddenly becoming mid-range exclusive jump shooters, and they're maybe not quite as good as they would be otherwise. In fact, Paul George has either had lightning hot days against the Jazz shooting on the outside or gotten cold shooting on the outside, but he has not had, you know, he does not get to the rim against Rudy Gobert. Kawhi Leonard is a great mid-range, but if you get these guys so they're off the rim, that's what Rudy does. That causes them some problems. And frankly, the way the Jazz have built this roster now officially with Conley and Bogdanović and everybody, they might have enough offensive weapons to deal with Beverly, George, and Kawhi Leonard. If the Lakers have signed DeMarcus Cousins, which is a terrible move, and have JaVale McGee, those are two players that are big, strong, and hanging around the rim. Clint Capella is still on the Clippers and a key part of who they are. And he keeps Rudy Gobert near and close to the rim. Rudy Gobert causes Nikola Jokic probably as big a problem as anyone does. Jokic against the Jazz was not the all-star caliber player. Hassan Whiteside and Yusuf Nurkic are in Portland as their centers. And Rudy Gobert is now around the basket and being able to play there. Though, interestingly enough, San Antonio, LaMarcus Aldridge and Jakob Poeltl. Like, the way the West is suddenly built, to me, Rudy Gobert is, again, as important as ever before. Marcus Gasol, Karl Anthony Towns, those five, Al Horford, those five, Joel Embiid, those fives that go out on the floor and play from distance are the ones that cause Rudy the most trouble. Miles Turner. They're all in the Eastern Conference, except for Karl Anthony Towns. But really, and I don't know what Dallas plans to do if they're going to play Kristaps as the five. The two worst matchups for the Jazz might be Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns and Kristaps Porzingis if they play him as a five in Dallas, because of the fact those two guys actually do pull Rudy out of the floor and make him play at a different level. Otherwise, it's guard shooting you have to deal with, and Mike Conley will be better defending that than Ricky Rubio, unless he really slows down. And so the Jazz have, interestingly enough, I think the Jazz have a case here where Rudy Gobert's defensive presence is actually as valuable, if not more valuable, than he was when before all the free agency movement and what's taking place. So interestingly enough, I actually think Rudy has gotten more value. If the Jazz are able to be elite defensively again, they're going to be great. Because the Rockets, Lakers, and Clippers, are, as much as the Jazz are improved offensively, I think are probably all still better than the Jazz offensively. And I'll run the numbers on it this week. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. And I'll stop having opinion and actually have some data. But my feeling is that those four teams and the Nuggets probably should be the five best offensive teams. I'm not sure what to think of the Warriors and how dominant Steph really is. But so go with that. Clippers, Lakers, Jazz, Rockets, Nuggets. But defensively, only the Clippers should be better than the Jazz. Right? Only the Clippers should be at that. The Jazz will be better than the Lakers defensively. The Jazz will be better than Denver defensively, and they'll be better than the Rockets. So whatever difference is, the Jazz may end up better than those teams because of the fact that they're offensively they're close now, and defensively they're they're going to be better. So I think now the key thing here is going to be, you know, where Rudy falls under all of this and what Rudy can do. The one that's interesting to me on Denver is I think of them as one of the purely elite offensive teams in the league. And by the end of the year last year, they had actually slipped to seventh offensively, which isn't terrible, but it does mean that Golden State, Houston, Portland, San Antonio, they're the fifth best team of the Western Conference, which is a little surprising to me. There is one part of this deal that took place and what's happened here in all of this Paul George, Kawhi Leonard stuff that should probably have Jazz fans a bit terrified and a bit nervous. I'll touch on that plus a quick thought or two on Summer League. Quite honestly, I don't want to overstate my Summer League knowledge. I have not been, I'm on the road and have not had access to NBA TV the way I usually do, so I have not seen them a ton. Locked on NBA today is a good show, so when you're done with that, plus yesterday with Ben Golliver, I apologize, there were some mic issues on that show where I guess you could hear me a little bit. Ben came in slow, so when I amp Ben up, you got a bunch of me. I apologize for that. I have some exciting Locked On news, two-part here. One is that once we're kind of done with this sequence of time, we'll start to take our sponsors for next year and fill out our schedule. So if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz for the upcoming season, you can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. And we can let you know about all of that. The other one, and this is what made me think of that, is I got the best email from Brock Worthen over at Intercap Lending the other day. They are now up to 15 branches. They now range from St. George to Logan, Tooele to Vernal. And they also have branches in Boise, Las Vegas, and Phoenix with another out-of-state opening coming shortly. I'm so excited for the guys at Intercap. Intercap's been around for 40 years. They've always been one of the largest independent lenders out there. But in April of 2016, Josh Romney bought them, moved their headquarters to Utah, and they do things differently. Hyper-responsive, embrace change, great borrower experience, and it's showing to work. It's really exciting to see that success. As of June 30th, they had exceeded their production in 2019 of the entirety of 2018 with more loans in the first 6 months than they did all of last year. Why? Because they get deals done. If your realtor's not using Intercap Lending, ask them why not. If you, with rates what they are right now, you have got to go check out Intercap Lending and see what they can do for you, because the market is there for you. And Steve Carter is the best. Steve Carter's number is 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Steve will give you the corporate discount for Locked On Jazz. He helped me through my mortgage. He will do the same for you. So if you're buying a house, make sure your agent's using Intercap. If you're looking to refi and save some money, call 385-885-28. Ask for Steve Carter. Tell him you're Locked On Jazz. It is Intercap Lending. Exciting, exciting times for the guys at Intercap. Here's the thing that's a little disturbing about where we sit right now in the NBA. Paul George was the example of the player who the middle market franchise got, who gave him a year, he showed how much he loved it, and he stuck around, and it shows you what a small market can do. So that story is now a little different. And that story is that Paul George took the money, the max money, and then 12 months later demanded a trade. Like, I don't know what Paul George thought he was going to get, and I think a lot of this has to do with Paul George's personality, that Paul George seems to just blow in the wind. And so when Russ had his ear for free agency a year ago, he went with Russ. And then when Kawhi got his ear this year, he went with Kawhi. And that before that, when his agents and all his people were in his ear and he wanted to go to L.A., he wanted to go to L.A. And so I think a lot of this has to do with Paul George. I mean, frankly, the only guy who's told the entire truth here is Kawhi Leonard, who told us he wanted to go to L.A. from the very beginning. From the very beginning, Kawhi wanted to go to L.A. He just did it with the Clippers instead of the Lakers. But to me, I can't decide whether I think this is a really, really bad omen for small markets that even when these guys say, hey, I'm willing to commit to you, I don't mind, it's a small market, I like my surroundings, this is all good, 12 months later they demand a trade, and now you're still a small market team playing with a disadvantage. Or is this just a universal case of where players are in the NBA right now that you've got to keep them happy? As a franchise, you've got to continually show them that you're making efforts. There's no 3- and 4-year plans are acceptable to these guys. Or is this just a case of one individual, Paul George, who blows in the wind and we're making a bigger deal out of it by looking at it as a larger picture? So that's, I'm not sure which of those three it is, but I do think that that's a big part of the story. I talked to Ben Golliver about that in that episode. I've talked to some other people about that. I think that is an eye-opening aspect of this. If Russell Westbrook wants to go to the Rockets, that would be great for the Jazz. If he goes to Miami or an Eastern Conference team, I guess it's irrelevant. If he goes to Dallas, I think it would be great for the Jazz. As dynamite as Russ is, and as he has all of the respect in the world from I think anybody who's ever watched him play, it's why all the NBA players love him so much, because nobody plays the game harder. Nobody plays the game harder than Russ. There's no one who plays with the tenacity, the energy, the fire. But the fact is that Paul George, who last year was like third in the MVP voting, and Russell Westbrook never got out of the first round. They never like won more than 47 games. Maybe they won 48 this year. But the fact is that Russ is just fundamentally flawed as a player. Everyone, you know, people... I preach points gained. I believe in points gained. I believe that negative players are incredibly detrimental. Nobody really wants to buy in all the way on this, but the evidence is becoming so abundantly clear all the time that if you are a negative, inefficient offensive player, you bring your team down and you can't win. We can talk about... And we'll talk about this later this week. The beauty of where the Jazz sit, frankly, is like, here's the key to the Jazz season next year. Donovan. We need our best player to get better. Like, I'm going to do a whole show on this thing, or at least a lead segment before the week's over. But, like, Donovan's still really inefficient. It's a problem. Everybody else on our roster is really efficient. Donovan's the last one to come along. And if he comes along, we're going to be great. I mean, like crazy great. But he's got to come along. He made progress. He got better last year. Now he's got to do it. No more negative points gained for Donovan Mitchell. It's detrimental to your success as a team. But he wasn't in a position to succeed because of the roster construction. So I think he'll get better. Russ is just an inefficient offensive player that's getting worse. Quick thought on Summer League. Brantley had the hamstring thing today, so I don't, you know, that's going to shut him down for a little while, I would suspect. But I think he showed early that he's capable. I really want to see him play with better players. I feel like I don't have a very good understanding at all of who he is going to be when he's on a team with better players. I think Oni, after an absolutely terrible first night and just was absolutely absent, like didn't, like terrifying, didn't impact the game at all, has been kind of interesting. Like, he did a really nice job when guarding Lonnie Walker. He had Tyler Hero today, and Hero shot 7 of 18. He didn't guard him the whole time, and I didn't see a ton of that game. I thought Oney got caught stutter-stepping a few times the first time I watched him going through screens, and now he's going to have to get better at doing that. But I think, that's the development thing. And then he's shooting threes really well. If he can shoot threes at that high level, I feel like Oney's got an understanding of who he is as a player. One of the problems you get when you get these guys who've been 4 years players or 3 year players and have been the leading guy and the player of the month and all those or player of the conference, is them understanding that they're now like the 10th best player on the floor. And so they've got to play like they're the 10th best player on the floor. And that's where I say I got to see Brantley with better players. Like, I think Brantley's interesting, but I've got to see him play with better players. Oney, I actually think, is not going to have a problem fitting in the roster and figuring out how he plays. And so if that's the case, then I've got some optimism that he can maybe give you 10 or 12 minutes a night over some time. But again, second round picks, so very, very rarely are able to do this. All right, that is Locked On Jazz for the 7th or 8th of July. Thanks very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. Locked On NBA is a good one for you. I will probably not have something for you Tuesday. Likely have something for you Wednesday, and maybe, I don't know, about Thursday or Friday. We'll see. All right, hope you're great. Thanks very much for tuning in. Appreciate you very much. This has been Locked On NBA. If you're interested in advertising in the upcoming season on Locked On, this has been Locked On Jazz. If you're interested in advertising, email me at dlocks09@gmail.com. Have a great one.